KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Sector Talk Show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me, of course, is...
Caleb.
And...
Jason.
All right.
That's right. Thanks for sticking around. We got a great show for you tonight. In the core, we're going to be discussing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's right. Some pictures have released for the brand new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, showing off some of their new designs. So we're going to talk about those, as well as probably some other things that have been rebooted or redesigned, and just kind of give our opinions on them and this and that. And so start thinking about some things that have been rebooted, redesigned, whether you've liked them or not liked them.
Mm-hmm.
Start keeping those in mind, and definitely let us know ones that you think. We also have a very special, hopefully... one of many, Caleb's Corners.
Yes, that's Caleb's Corner. We'll be sort of unpacking some of the mystery around some of Marvel's new movies, particularly in this case, Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's right. And we'll have a little brief geek talk, of course, and as we always do, the news. But
indeed,
before
indeed.
All of that magicalness starts, Caleb, how can the audience be a part of the show?
If you would like to be a part of the show, interact with us, tell us the things that you think are newsworthy, or want to respond to our news stories, or tell us what you think it needs to be rebooted or needs to not have been rebooted, you can find us on Facebook, Robots Attack, two words, and then we'll be your first hit. Or you can find us on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me, all one word. And then robotsattackshow@gmail.com is our email address. And finally, if you just want one place for everything, all the things I've described, plus archive episodes of our show, robotsattack.me, that has links to everything I've described under the interact section or the interact button. And there is also a form there if you want to email us through the website. And also, obviously, all of our past episodes are there as well.
That's right. All right, let's get this show started with new releases.
Woo!
I'm going to mention some movies releasing in the theater. First, we have That Awkward Moment. Three best friends find themselves at that confusing moment in early dating relationships when you have to decide, so where is this going? Guy's favorite question of all time. Next, we have 12 O'Clock Boys in limited release. Pug, a young boy growing up on a combative West Baltimore block, find solace in a group of illegal dirt bike riders known as the 12 O'Clock Boys. Then we have Charlie Victor Romeo. Charlie Victor Romeo is a performance documentary derived entirely from the black box transcripts of six major real-life airline emergencies.
I've heard about this.
No, you haven't.
No, I've heard that, or at least someone has done a variant on this idea. It was a stage show where they did reenactments of the flight recorders.
I don't believe it. I think you just made all that up. And last but not least, best night ever. Bride to be Claire, her sister Leslie, fun loving Zoe, and quirky new friend Janet set off to Las Vegas for a one night bachelorette party that turns out to be more than they bargained for. A series of unexpected adventures, including getting kicked out of a strip club, being mugged, and getting pummeled by the Las Vegas reigning gelatin wrestling champion Veronica, rip them from the glitz and glamour of the Las Vegas Strip and places them smack dab in Vegas's seedy underbelly.
There you go.
Nice.
So if those if those big screen movies don't thrill you, maybe you need to beef up your Blu-ray or DVD collection with Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, which is on both Blu-ray and DVD this week.
More meatballs!
There are, indeed. It's hot off the success of his first of his machine that turns water into food. Flint Lockwood is asked to join an elite group of inventors. He also finds out that his original invention is still operating and has made food-animal hybrids. Hijinks and puns ensue. Then there is Collision on Blu-ray and DVD. A couple's honeymoon to Morocco takes an unexpected turn when a day trip into the Sahara leaves them stranded. But as they work through the situation, a level of orchestration becomes revealed.
The lesson is don't take day trips into the Sahara.
Yeah, generally ill-advised. But unless you have experienced guides with you or something. Last Vegas on Blu-ray and DVD. Four old friends go to Vegas to celebrate the upcoming wedding of one of them. When they what they find is that the city they knew has changed, as have they. But will this strain their friendship or strengthen it? Also on Blu-ray and DVD is Rush. This film highlights the on and off-track rivalry of Formula One stars James Hunt and Nicka Lauda.
That go straight to video?
No, it was in theaters.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It didn't last very long in theaters, but it was in theaters. From what I hear, it was pretty solid. I never saw it myself. Ghost House on DVD. It's the first DVD release from the Riff Trax team. In this film disaster, the story is about a haunted house, a girl with a scary clown doll that commands her to kill, and a ham radio operator. And Chili. Yeah, no Oscar nominations here.
Okay, gonna watch that one.
What? All right, moving on to the world of video games. A side note, I mentioned last week a game for the PS4 called Basement Crawl. Apparently, it was delayed. So, sorry, people. It was on the new releases list for last week, but apparently it was delayed, so it's not out yet. Okay, number one that is out, Broken Age Act 1. The first graphic adventure by Tim Schafer in 16 years, Broken Age began with the help of a record-breaking Kickstarter campaign. Broken Age is a timeless coming-of-age story of barfing trees and talking spoons. Moving on from there, we have Recoil.
Too big. Sorry.
I don't know if that's in there, but we have Recoil for the PC and the 360, although I think it's called like Recoil Liberator for the 360, but whatever, you're probably not going to play it anyway. Recoil is a multiplayer first-person shooter in which the downtrodden Minutemen are pitted against their oppressors, Darkwater Incorporated, in a world where the only goal is to survive the unrelenting pandemic that has swept across the globe. Moving on to something that you should play, Tomb Raider Definitive Edition for the PS4 and the Xbox One, or you can get Tomb Raider Game of the Year Edition for PlayStation 3 and 360. Mm-hmm. Armed with only the raw instincts and physical ability to push beyond the limits of human endurance, Tomb Raider delivers an intense and gritty story in the origins of Lara Croft and her ascent from a frightened young woman to a hardened survivor. And not the last one, Call of Duty Ghosts Onslaught DLC for Xbox One and 360. Onslaught includes four unique multiplayer maps, an all-new dual-purpose assault rifle / sniper rifle, and the first installment in Extinction's four-part episodic narrative. And last but not least, DC Universe Online War of the Light Part 1 for PC, PS3, and PS4.
Well, branching from the DC connection over into Comicdom is Catwoman number 27. In this Gothopia story arc, Selina fights at the side of Batman as Catbird. All seems to be well, and yet it doesn't feel quite right. Catbird, you can't make this stuff up. Damian, son of Batman, number 4. Will his tragic life send him into the depths of darkness? This takes a look at the potential future of the Batman. From the other side of town, Marvel, Guardians of the Galaxy number 11. The trial of Jean Grey, aka the Phoenix, as seen through the eyes of the Guardians. So it was X-Men last time. This time it's from the Guardians' point of view. Miracle Man number 2, second issue in this landmark series featuring material from The Warrior, numbers 1-5, which was a magazine imprint in England. And then from producers that are not DC or Marvel, in no particular order, Serenity, Leaves on the Wind, number 1, from Dark Horse. This is a new series picking up after the events of the Serenity film. How will Mal and his crew escape the Alliance now that their greatest sin is now known?
Ooh.
Hmm.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, timely, number 30 from IDW. The Turtles have a new home and their lives are fundamentally changed. How will they all deal with it? And then Saga, number 18 from Image. It's the inevitable conclusion of the hero's stay on Quietus. And yes, Saga is good stuff. It almost doesn't need a description because it's that good. Adventure Time, Adventure Time 2014
that
Winter
is literally
Special,
the title.
Number one. Yeah. It would sound like a title for an Adventure
Time.
From Boom Entertainment. Winter has come to the land of Boom. Ooh. And an all-star team of creators has a lovely batch of stories for us to enjoy there.
Well, that's cool.
There you go.
Nice. All right, and I'm going to wrap it up with some music. First being Too True from the band Dum Dum Girls. It's the third full-length release for the indie pop band led by Dee Dee Penny. Next we have Do Not Engage from the band The Pack AD, the fourth full-length studio release for the Vancouver indie rock duo of Becky Black and Maya Miller, was produced by Jim Diamond. Third, we have Maui Tears by Sleepy Sun, the fourth full-length release for the San Francisco Psych Rock, now led by Brett Castellino, was produced with Tim Green. Then we have In Roses from Gem Club, probably not related to the Gem TV show. Magic Orchestra string arranger Mina Choi joined on the second release for the Massachusetts-based duo of Christopher Barnes and Kristen Drymala. And last, we have Trouble from Hospitality. Think about that for a minute, folks. The second release for the Brooklyn indie pop trio was co-produced by Nathan Mitchell and Matt Boynton. All right, that's going to do it for new releases. We're going to take a quick music break. And, oh, wow, I'm going to play a track from the new Dum Dum Girls album.
Hey. It's
called Trouble Is My Name from the album Too True. Wow, that just sounds so familiar. It's like I just talked about it.
Yeah, just a moment ago.
Exactly.
See, that's how topical this is.
Yeah, it's too true and topical and everything. All right, hopefully you haven't left yet, so stick around. We got a great show, and we'll be back with the news right after this.
The Museum of American Heritage presents Television, A History, an exhibit displaying a variety of unique 1940s and 1950s eras television sets from the museum's collection. The exhibit explores everything from how television works to its social impacts. This exhibition opens September 27th, 2013, and runs until March 23rd. And regular exhibit hours are from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, unless otherwise noted. The museum is located at 351 Homer Avenue in Palo Alto, and admission is free.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
News.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geeks Intro Talk Show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.5 FM, the Underground Sound. I'm Joe, and we're in the news, and Caleb's bringing you our first story.
That's right. This one comes to you from the fine folks over at MIT, as reported on Relevant. They have created one of their media lab science fiction to fabrication class has created a unique device, which is a high-tech vest, which has transducers for the things on your phone that make it vibrate. And
wobblers
for some,
yes.
they have basically they made a vest which helps you feel the emotions of a novel or a story.
Okay.
So they have the little transducers which will give you shivers or are designed to stimulate and increase the heart rate. It can also change the skin temperature with and compression. So like you, if someone is under stress or fear, it will actually compress and tighten around the chest as if you were there also.
Okay.
This seems like something that's going to turn into a horror movie of its own, like a series of murders that can only be described by ghost possessing
vests.
I'm sure someone would do something like that.
With wibbly wobbly bits.
The vest.
But would they also have timey-wimey bits, too?
Mostly wibbly-wobbly.
Okay. The book itself that has the a lot of the information in it also has an array of LEDs on the front of it, which help you, like, can set mood lighting, like if you're reading, like, in a semi-dark room or something like that. This is all, like, really experimental ideas, but it's just kind of interesting to see, you know, technology applied in unique ways. And we have, you know, these different, you know, mechanisms and remote sensors and things like that. It's like, what else can we do with it? Where can we expand the idea of where the technology will lead? So
how long before the 12 Shades of Grey or 50 Shades of Grey mod for this vest?
Yes. I'm sure someone thought of that and then they thought, we'll leave that one for the aftermarket.
Fair enough.
Speaking of aftermarket, right? Does that work?
Sure. In a sort of zero market, I guess. Google released something kind of interesting, and it's specifically for people who hate touching Legos.
Who are these people? And are they actually, do they have a soul?
Well, okay, maybe it's not just for people that hate touching Legos, but it allows people to play with Legos without touching Legos.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
Okay, that's better. Google created something called Build with Chrome. It's literally Lego-branded Lego blocks in a fictional environment. You can play for free with your Legos online with currently the supported browsers that people have checked on and work completely are Firefox and Chrome, of course.
Mm-hmm. But wait, it works in Chrome?
I know, it's crazy, right? But it's completely 3D. It allows you a sort of flat to white space to work on, lets you choose the colors of your bricks, unlimited bricks. I'm not sure about, like, all of the variations of bricks. I don't think you can do the super crazy projects, but it has, like, all of your fundamental original circa, like, 1970 Legos, I believe. They were around back then, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then all of the circa 1970s
I think
Legos.
The patent goes back to the 50s.
That's very possible. I'm sticking with the 70s, though, because that's groovy.
Very. It might even be far out.
Ooh. I can dig it.
Round we go.
All right. So from Legos to Arnold Schwarzenegger and Conan.
I thought you were going to go from Legos to Legolas. No?
Sorry,
so Arnold Schwarzenegger is playing Legolas?
Frodo, exactly. I will take the ring for you.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Imagine him doing all those gymnastics, like shooting a bow or like three different directions at once.
Definitely some CG there, I'm pretty sure.
No, it's all real.
All right, well, the story I snagged from IGN, this the way that they're pitching this actually makes me excited. So, the Legend of Conan producer Chris Morgan says Arnold Schwarzenegger's return to the role is going to be their Unforgiven.
Uh-huh.
So, it's set to be produced by Frederick Malberg and Chris Morgan, the Fast and the Furious franchise and Wanted screenwriter. The Legend of Conan will follow what 1982's Conan the Barbarian established and completely disregard Conan the Destroyer. Thank you.
Yes.
But because doing that, sadly, also the 2011 Jason Momoa reboot. which was a fun movie, but yeah, they're going to completely disregard everything except the original Conan the Barbarian. Sam Wahlberg runs Paradox Entertainment, which controls the rights to Robert E. Howard character and produced the 2011 version. The studio was originally aiming for a summer 2014 premiere, which is not going to happen. Development has continued to move forward on the project, though. In early 2013, Schwarzenegger said that they were looking at Peter Jackson's studio in New Zealand as a possible shooting location. In October, producers hired Andrea Berloff, World Trade Center, to pen the script. Morgan's increasingly busy schedule likely took him out of the running to write this screenplay himself, which they aimed to meet the standard set by John Milius' original Conan the Barbarian. When it was initially announced, the plan for the film was to focus on Conan as a magistrate, as a ruler, rather than the barbarian of old. Sort of, kind of like how the original ended. He was like a king on his throne.
Oh, okay. Right,
yeah.
A ruler who would be drawn into a battle and need to call upon the barbarian he once was. So, the article actually has, like, it's a sit-down interview. So we post all of our stories to our Facebook page and our Twitter page as well, so you can go and read the full-on interview. Goes into a little more detail of the idea behind it. If you've ever seen Unforgiven, it sounds like they kind of want to take that sort of approach, as far as, you know, he's this old sort of legend character that gets called back in, sort of like Unforgiven. Clint Eastwood's character was sort of this notorious outlaw in the past and kind of gets pulled into one last job. And so I like the idea that they're shooting for, so it'll fit. They want Arnold to be the age that he is.
Yeah.
So it should.
That's a smart move.
Yeah. Than trying to be like, you know,
oh, I'm so young again, look at me.
Yeah.
Right, so. With CG'd muscles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, here's hoping. I enjoyed the original Conan the Barbarian, so. Hopefully the Legend of Conan is fun.
Legend of Conan.
Sounds promising.
Alrighty.
I will most likely watch that.
So from fading stars to rising stars to supernovas, which are exploding stars, we have... What happened to my sharing thing? Anyways, the... I'll post that in just a second. The... over on space.com, a group of amateur astronomers found a brand new supernova in Galaxy M82.
Was it a champagne supernova in the sky?
I don't think so. But I see where you're going with that, yeah.
You admit it works.
They have some really amazing photos of what this looks like. This new supernova is over 12 million light years away. So we're going to be able to watch the event for quite some time, quite honestly.
Okay.
M80.
Does that mean it might be gone?
Technically, it's technically long since over.
Okay. But that's what I... Yeah.
But because of the speed of light and the vastness of space, it's going to take a little while. We get to watch for a little while longer. It was first observed in Galaxy M81 in 1993, and in M82, the next closest one was in 93, and that was in Galaxy M81. So it's just kind of cool, like, you know, there's the people with enough dedication and time and interest can still make discoveries. The amateur is still able to contribute to science. So, folks, if the idea of looking into space, into deep space, with even your own backyard telescope, you might still be able to find something. Now, they were using a professional, professionals kind of a misnomer. They were in the in a large scale observatory, which had a large telescope. But, you know,
but
yeah, and also not everyone uses them all the time. So, like, you know, if you can get some time on a telescope, you know, if you can show that you had the dedication to help out science, then go for it.
There you go. yeah, from there, I'm going to another Lego story.
Nice.
So there.
Keep so many it circular. Legos. Keep it
right.
circular.
And it's a Kickstarter story, so take your shots. That's our new shot call out right
okay.
there, because we do enough of those.
Quite
We've
a few.
Done two of them already. This is the second one, so
mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Anyway, a successful Kickstarter in campaign was basically for planter Legos.
Planter Legos.
It's Legos that are meant to form the walls of planters for like gardening and such.
Okay.
And
so they like larger scale Legos?
They kind of remind me of the like Duplo blocks or something
okay.
like that, except they have sort of a weird funky design at the top, which makes them look more like something would be like, I don't know, design-ish and whatnot.
Okay, well, like, more like planters rather than like strictly Legos?
Exactly. Now, some of the color combinations that they have here, I'm not sure I quite support, because then it makes it look like regular Legos again. But they also have the tried and true colors of brown and black. And
mm-hmm.
and you can get like a multicolored set and whatnot. They're not cheap, I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to check them out, we'll have a link up on our page so that we do not displease the radio gods and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an interesting idea, and it'll be interesting to see if people create cheaper and cheaper versions of similar things. So that ends up being something that everybody will do. So creativity will reign in your garden.
Speaking of things that everyone can do, if you want to listen to KSU, even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. All right, we're going to take another music break and then come back with more news. So stick around. I'm going to play a local band called Turn Me On Dead from the album Turn Me On Dead. All right, you're listening to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM. The underground sound.
News.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central Talk Show here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. I am Joe, and we're in the news, so here's a story for you. All right. This hasn't been completely confirmed, but man, I hope it is true. All right. This story I snagged from Polygon. District 9 director Neil Blomkamp reportedly set to direct upcoming Halo TV pilot. That would be awesome.
Since, yeah, that
makes
got
sense.
Him what he was, got him the job in the first place.
The director, best known for his work on the documentary-styled sci-fi release District 9 and the not-as-good Elysium,
yeah.
Will direct the pilot episode of the upcoming Halo television series slated to come to Xbox One, according to a report from the film publication Latino Review. Man, Latino Review nabs all these things.
I
don't know how
crazy.
They do it, but
it's Blomkamp.
Yeah,
he's typical Latin star.
Yeah, it's
from
true.
South Africa.
It's very true.
Right. There's a lot of
yeah.
Latin people in South Africa these days.
Blomkamp was previously attached to direct a feature film based on the game franchise following the development of a series of live action promotional shorts for Halo 3 in 2007. The film was eventually canned following studio disputes. The director has since said he would likely not return to the film project if it was offered to him. The television series was first announced last year in partnership between developer 343 Industries and producer Steven Spielberg. However, the production has remained quiet since its reveal. Quote, I think much like Halo begat the Xbox, Microsoft Studios' Phil Spencer told Polygon at the time, I think the Halo TV series can have a pretty dramatic impact on how people think about television. So yeah, I'd be down for this. I'd be down for him.
It sounds like it has some potential.
Yeah, definitely. That's very exciting. Speaking of things that are exciting,
do I need to my pants? Should they stay on? Are they going to fly off?
Please.
No, just leave your pants on. You'll
with
be fine.
Not flying off.
Well, he said this was exciting. I mean, it just like might make my shirt and pants just explode.
We're trying to excite the listeners. that we don't have to look at.
Okay, the listener, is it going to like blow off? Is it going to knock the socks and the pants and the shirts off?
I don't know about
listeners?
Their pants and their shirt, but it
because some are driving. So
yes,
it could be dangerous.
It might get
especially if it's the socks.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how exciting is this story?
I think it's around an 8.
Oh, man. Okay.
It will definitely get some
pretty good. An 8 in excitement. Now, on a scale of knocking off, like making socks and pants and shirts fly off, what's the scale?
It'll probably get
1 to 2. Which one?
your clothing should remain intact. Let's leave it. Let's put it that way.
Okay, because 1 was like half of your stuff would fly off. 2 was everything would fly off. So.
Right.
Depending on how.
So it's a 0, but still, I mean.
Maybe a 0.5. I don't know. Today it was announced that the Goldilocks group, who was actually based out of Oakland, I didn't realize they were.
Does this have something to do with Legos?
Tangentially, because it's an engine. Goldilocks is an engineering toy, which is effectively what
Legos are.
Legos are, if you look at them the right way.
Okay. What about Legolas?
No relation other than he has blonde hair. Okay. So
Legolas on the brain tonight.
I mean, works with Legos. It's his favorite toy.
I would have thought it was bows and arrows, but anyways, the
not
Oakland
a toy.
The Oakland startup company that had also had a record-breaking Kickstarter campaign is going. They recently won the Intuit Small Business Big Game Contest, and their prize is going to be a commercial spot in the Super Bowl. So this upstart company making engineering toys aimed at girls is going to be able to put this product in front of hundreds of thousands, millions of people.
So it's going to be a waste of money.
Yes, you dodged that mic, man. It's really cool.
Is really cool. I'm kidding.
That is an awesome opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's not like sandwiched in between like a beer ad and a
that's like the other side that I wasn't kidding about.
Yeah.
If it's next to Doritos, that might still work.
Mm-hmm.
Doritos have universal appeal.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
For all genders and people who like brick things.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is really exciting because it will be some really good press for them on top of the their successful Kickstarter campaign. It's like it's just spreading the word further about a really cool idea and cool product. They were competing against 15,000 other businesses for this top prize, and this small team of 13 people is.
So how did they win it? Was it? What was the criteria?
That is
fight.
It's not entirely clear from this article, but the apparently it was
they
voted.
They took off a rival company's head.
Ooh.
I don't think so. It was
they took a rival company's head out to lunch.
They out-engineered another company.
Okay.
Yeah. Their business. Mm-hmm. I think they
with a katana blade.
They were part of a voting campaign and the. Over a million businesses outside of Intuit voted that Goldilocks should win, and over 8,000 employees at Intuit voted that they should win. So it was.
Well, I'm into it being on the Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah, if we could have voted, we would have been. we would have, but. It sounds really cool, and I'm so excited for them for this opportunity, and I hope it's a grand success for them.
Yeah, that's cool. From there, I rocket to China. In the future.
Future.
Okay, maybe only a year in the future, but...
Hey, you know, speaking on that, if you're not listening to this live, happy Chinese New Year.
Yes.
Gong Hei Fa Choi.
Yep.
Which is how you say it.
That thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're the horse, right?
I believe so.
I think
again?
I can confirm that in a moment.
Just seemed like it was yesterday. It was Year of the Horse. Anyway. So, yes.
Year of the Horse.
Yes, China next year. What year is that one going to be?
I'll have to look that one up. Continue with your story.
Okay. Be quick about it.
I will.
Well, if you're not familiar, China and its larger, more industrial cities has a heck of a smog problem. And they've went about a bunch of different ways to try and figure out how to get around the smog problem. And they've put together $277 billion worth of investment to tackle this problem.
Goodness.
Whoa. One of the solutions that's part of that investment that's apparently going to start in the future, in 2015,
Legos?
In China, unfortunately has nothing to do with Legos, Lego Loss, or Goldie Blocks.
Or Kickstarter.
Or Kickstarter, yeah. Unfortunately. If hopefully they can get Kickstarter into this. Well, okay, hopefully not, because it sounds like it's going to be a disaster, but...
Okay. Spoilers!
Here's what it is. People have heard of cloud seeding, right?
Yes.
Okay. So
sure.
The idea, remember DuckTales?
Yes.
Remember when they were turning clouds into, like, torrents of rain that were, like, flooding towns and whatnot? I don't know that was an actual DuckTales plot, but it sounds like one that could have been.
Possibly a Tailspin episode?
Maybe Tailspin. probably both.
A crossover.
Right. It was a crossover cloud. Well, anyway, so the idea is that you put this stuff into the rain. Let's see if I can find what it's called really quick. It was silver something.
Purple rain. Yeah, too bad it wasn't purple. Purple rain.
Anyway.
Chocolate rain.
The idea is that you seed clouds with this dust that basically makes the clouds get sort of the nugget in the middle of the reaction that creates rainwater out of the clouds.
Okay.
So it snowball effect, all the moisture gathers up, and it creates a raindrop on a massive scale.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is kind of neat, because there's plenty of clouds in those regions, and you still have the smog problem, and the clouds are above the smog problem, so get it to rain, and then you can, battle the smog with rain.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Unfortunately, scientists are already pointing out something that's wrong with this idea, is that smog already works this way.
Ah, so you're just creating more
wet smog for no reason.
Making wetter smog.
Well, no, the idea is that smog would have already created this process if rain clouds were above and they were dense enough that it would, if that extra little seed of material would create rain from a rain cloud.
Make it rain cloud.
Smog would already do that, which is sort of interesting to me. I had no idea. But
the polluting particulates probably could be.
It makes sense. So effectively, you'd just be shooting stuff into the clouds and it wouldn't really be doing anything. So still, congratulations on getting $277 billion worth of investment to tackle smog problems. I mean, that's a step forward towards 2015. China.
And 2015 is Year of the Sheep, so maybe they'll usher in some gentleness into this equation.
There you go.
There you go.
Maybe they'll work on some acid rain stuff or something. Mm-hmm. Speaking of things that actually do work.
Hey.
Or will work. San Jose Animal Advocates, if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. That's where I found them. All right. My story from From China to Japan.
Ah, okay. All right. Okay. Hop across which body of water?
This is. I'd have to look that one up. I'm not positive.
Man, you're making Caleb work tonight.
You see, he's got the pewter right in front of him.
That is true.
As I'm holding a smartphone.
Yeah.
Google find. No.
doesn't work quite.
No.
But anyway,
the Sea of Japan. There you go.
There you go.
Hey, all right.
That would have made some sense.
Go over the Sea of Japan into Japan, into the, I guess, office or home, wherever this dude happens to be at this exact moment, Nintendo boss Satoru Iwata will cut pay in half after poor fiscal results.
Oh,
the story
for himself or for everyone?
You're about to find out.
I can't stand that.
This story I snagged from Polygon. Nintendo Satoru Iwata announced he will slash his pay in half following a 30% slump in profit over the 9-month fiscal period ending December 31st, 2013. Speaking to reporters, the Nintendo president said he will receive a reduced salary for 5 months in the wake of the third quarter results. Other Nintendo executives will take a pay cut between 20 and 30%. Earlier this month, the company announced its expectations for a third consecutive annual operating loss after previously forecasting its return to profit. The company expects to lose 33.4 billion yen for the final quarter of the year, with a total operating loss of 35 billion yen. That's $355 million for 2013. All right, Nintendo. Give you some advice right here. It's free. Take it.
I'm listening. Nintendo?
All right. You got your first parties. You got your first party developers. They make fantastic games that everyone loves. They love your Marios. They love your Zeldas. Here's the thing.
Even your Luigis from time to time.
Exactly. Those worlds that they encompass, all the characters, people love them. They buy them, but they don't always come out very often.
In a timely manner.
Exactly. So here's what you do. You take those first party developers that know how to make those fantastic games that everybody loves. Come out with some new IP.
Yeah.
Take those brains, make something new. You can't rely on third-party developers to make games for the Wii U tablet because the audience isn't there.
It's weird.
The audience would be there if you take those first-party developers and make games that use that tablet, new IP. It's free advice. Just do it. It'll work. Trust me. I know you guys got...
Stop trying to buy Rovio. They already made a game for your tablet.
You've got good developers there.
They want nothing more to do with you.
You got good developers there. I'm sure they would love to work on something that isn't have the title Mario in it or Zelda in it. So do that.
Yeah.
That would be
kind of cool.
More Wario games. That's the take it.
Outside of those two that I mentioned. I know you've got the Donkey Kong games, and I know sometimes there's a Metroid game, but new IP. New IP. People like new IP.
Mm-hmm.
So do that.
Possibly team up with Sega.
I have a groundbreaking new idea, too. I know there also was like a little bit of it in a game or so. But what about a Legend of Zelda game where Zelda is actually like the legend instead of Link?
That might be kind of cool.
Where she does the
adventuring? It would be good to actually play as Zelda in one of those games.
Because the game has been named after quite a few times, so...
She is a legend.
It seems like it's about time, you know.
But new IP. All right, I believe Caleb has our last story.
I do, and it's our robot story.
What? A robot story on Robots Attack?
Yeah. It doesn't make any kind of sense.
Yeah. Anyway, the this one has to do with drones and whales, of all things.
Whale drones?
No, drones watching whales.
Okay. I didn't know they were into that.
Well, the drones themselves aren't so into it, but the researchers are. And recently, a gentleman, one Captain Frank Brennan,
Captain Frankie,
no, not Frankie. I don't think you would call him that to his face unless you know him really, really well. And maybe not.
I'm going to.
Alrighty.
I'm
so anyway,
him down.
He recently uploaded a video to YouTube of that he captured with a drone. Of a fin whale, which is a relatively rare whale to see here in California.
Because they live primarily in Finland, or...?
No, they're just elusive, difficult to find.
Okay.
And what makes his footage kind of unique is that he was able to get it from about 50 feet away from the whale, the surfacing whale. And he did it using a drone. And the guidelines for any other vehicle in the that's near a whale are pretty strict. If you are in a boat, you must remain 100 yards from the whale, and you must not interrupt their travel path.
But if you're a drone, you can stand right in the way of them.
Well, they don't stand in the way of them. That's the thing. Airplanes and helicopters have to stay at least 1,000 feet above the cetaceans, but a drone, you know, barely bigger than your head, you know, like in this case, it was a quadcopter. It doesn't make nearly as much noise as a helicopter or as much downward force, and it's not going to interrupt their life. Questionable if they would even notice that the thing is above their heads. So it's very curious to see whether this will start becoming a tool that researchers use to get better footage or better imagery of whales and other sea mammals and sea life that, you know, they want to, you know, remain a safe distance from.
Yeah.
So it's like this is modern technology and a bit of robotics to create, you know, and possibly new avenues for marine biology. And
a whole new world.
Possibly.
Don't you dare close your eyes, or is it, I don't, is that the lyric?
I can't remember.
Yeah. Yes, that is the lyric.
Okay.
Hold your breath. Give us more. Hold your breath, it gets better.
Okay.
Stop that. From way up here, it's crystal clear that drones may be the future of photographing and getting imagery and research on
of Finnish mammals. Whales.
Nice. You hear that, photographers? We don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
No, we still
go
need
home.
You.
Go home.
We need
photographers.
We need you to control these things so we can get good shots.
Take that, paparazzi. Hounding my every move.
They can get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, they can go.
But regular photographers can stay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's going to do it for the news. We're going to take a music break. Hopefully you enjoyed all those stories. We're going to play the artist Young the Giant with Mind Over Matter from the album Mind Over Matter. And then we'll be back with Geek Talk. You definitely want to stick around for the rest of the show, because like I mentioned earlier on, if you're just tuning in the core, we're going to discuss the recently leaked, released pictures for the redesign of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
The Ninjai.
And some other redesign, stuff from other entertainment properties as well. And banging noises on the table will be there as well.
Pops.
And an awesome special Caleb's Corner.
Well, where I will be helping unpack the mystery that is Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's right. All right. Let's get to that music and then be back with more Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM. The Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We're in Geek Talk. We're going to kick back and just talk some geek.
Mm-hmm.
I had a chance to play a little bit of the new DLC that dropped for Call of Duty Ghosts.
Oh,
I played like the last minute and a half of the fog map.
Oh, okay.
And then one other map that ended up getting voted twice called Containment, I believe.
Okay. Mm.
So, unfortunately, no one turned into Michael Myers in fog.
Oh, okay.
It's funny. I didn't realize it, but it kind of makes sense. Like, all the Michael Myers is just a reskinned maniac juggernaut.
Okay.
And it kind of fits, like, sort of the name, Maniac.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like, if you see in the trailer, I didn't notice it at first, but when they show a shot of him running, it's the same, like, animation as the Maniac Juggernaut.
Okay, okay.
It's just he looks like Michael Myers and has an axe.
Okay.
Instead of
the knife.
The knife.
okay.
But yeah, it's and then it's supposed to play like the Halloween theme, like you're supposed to hear that
right
when he's in
and
here.
You never heard that once.
Nobody turned into it, and I didn't really. It seemed like a pretty small map. I didn't get to check out much of it because I like jumped in and I realized it's like, man, I haven't played this in a while, and I was just getting destroyed.
Yeah, they made it sound like these maps were going to be a lot more up close and personal than the previous ones.
Yeah, the second map, Containment, it was it's sort of like it has a kind of an not quite the center of it, but there's like a truck, like a radioactive, like a truck with radioactive material or like a bomb or something like that in it.
Right.
And you're like, your Geiger counter goes off as you get around it.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that one was pretty cool. There seemed to be a spot that the one person liked to hide in this building and like snipe everybody. And it seemed like you only get at it. You could get at it from like a ladder sort of on the side and then going like the stairs
through the building. Right.
Yeah. But yeah, there was always seemed to be a person in there.
Okay. Like,
but yeah, I mean, those two were pretty cool. Man, I hadn't played that game in a while, so I was just getting ripped up.
Yeah.
I didn't get to try the gun in sniper mode because I don't play a sniper. But as an assault rifle, it's a good gun. Hmm. It's got really good iron sight.
It looked like it was going to be pretty promising.
Very cool.
Is it comparable to anything or?
Not that I can.
Is it fire slower? Is it hit harder?
No, it doesn't seem like it does. Demon. It doesn't seem like it does that much damage. The recoil on it is well, I generally always buy the foregrip, so the recoil was good, but that always helps the gun. But yeah, the recoil seemed nice. It didn't seem terribly powerful, but if you hit a person, you know, chest kind of up.
Right.
It still seemed like
center
it did
mass.
A decent, yeah. Still seemed like it did a decent amount, and it was a lot of people were running around with it in the map. So it's like, oh, I'll try it with this customization.
Right.
Oh, I'll try it with this. Like so.
I remember that happening a lot in the last one too. It was like, I didn't really buy it, but hey, like 30 people dropped one. So
yeah, and you don't have to unlock it. Like it's automatically unlocked.
Okay.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
That like shows up as the very first gun in the list of guns.
Okay.
So yeah, so far, what little I played tonight, basically, before coming to the show, it seemed pretty cool.
Sounds good. I'll have a review of the sniper variant next week.
That sounds good. Yeah, hopefully we'll get a chance to play all the maps and then maybe try the first episode of the Extinction, since they're actually doing like a story
thing.
And it looked pretty cool, like set in Alaska or something like that. So
yeah, even just the Extinction by itself is pretty fun all on its own. The fact that they're expanding, that's kind of a neat idea.
Yeah.
With some pretty scary things. Like a nightcrawler little alien dude.
Yeah.
They're bad enough as they are.
Yeah. Seriously. Very cool. So I'm going to jump in next because keep with the gaming theme. Found this hilarious little game called Cat Lateral Damage. and
it sounds hilarious. Or cute.
Perhaps both. in this game, it's also a first person game, so that's a nice little segue.
There you go, there you go.
In this game you play a cat that's stuck in a room, and there are things in this room that need to be knocked over. And you have paws with which you can knock them over with. It's just ridiculous and fun. Very simple. It's sort of like, and the graphics are very straightforward. So it's kind of like a Katamari style game where it's like, very simple, but it's just vast amounts of fun to try and just run around the room. Like, oh, something over there. Let's knock that down. Let's jump up on the shelf and knock over all the things.
That sounds like something that needs to be on my phone like right now.
So you're saying you would like to see this show up on the Xbox One so you can use like Kinect? like motion to like
that would be hilarious. That,
yeah, and the camera would like track you. And
mm-hmm. That's sort of awesome. But yeah, you can like run faster, jump higher, jump fat, your attacks either will swipe or like you stick out like a pole, like move forward. So it's like you're pushing it with like one paw or whatever. Okay. So it's pretty funny.
Nice. That sounds like there's some adorable in there.
Yeah, the little cat paws are so cute.
Do you get to select like the color of your cat?
It's from the perspective of the cat. So you don't. I don't know if that may be an option, but it's kind of like an experimental game. Not that I know of yet. I'm sure. I think I saw on the developer's
one
blog.
One of them is a hamster.
That'd be
in
funny.
The little ball.
It's a good day to die. Not on my watch, rodent. Anyways,
is there a boss fight with the dog or something?
Yeah. So far as it's kind of like a concept game. It's currently, I think, on Steam's Project Greenlight. So if you're into that, and you're interested, check it out. The video of it looks like fun. So there you go.
We'll have a link to stuff on our
Twitter and Facebook. Robots Attack 2 words on Facebook, or Robots Attack Me all 1 word on Twitter.
Nice. All right.
Sounds legit.
Yeah. Mm. I think we've given some folks some things to think about. So they can prepare for Caleb's Corner coming up next, right after another music break. Want to tease the folks one more time, just in case they're tuning in now.
If you're just tuning in, I'm going to be helping unravel some of the mystery around who the heck are the Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's true. Coming out this year, so mm-hmm. if you're wondering, who are these guys?
And why do I care?
Exactly. Caleb's got you covered.
Pull the Band-Aids off like it's a last week's mummy.
Or something like that.
Yeah,
definitely. So what's next on the what's within the CD tray?
I'm gonna play a local band called Careless Hearts. The album is Alum Rock, and the track is Bascom Avenue.
Whoa, that's super local.
Yeah, they are a San Jose band.
There you go.
All right, we'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound, Santa Clara. And I'm talking about the Guardians of the Galaxy and the reason I'm bringing it up is because for a good many of us, like, I didn't really know that they were actually a thing until like the movie was announced, and I'm like, oh,
I knew of them.
Yeah, but... like the name was vaguely familiar, but it's like, who and what are they? What are they about?
I was aware of Femke Jensen, but I didn't know that she was in movies or anything, like that same sort of thing.
Sure, something like that.
And then you figure, since Marvel's giving them their own movie, you're like, well, mm-hmm. okay, this must be pretty big then, if they're willing to, dump some cash on this since.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a squirrel in a fighting game or something, right?
Probably Rocket Raccoon.
Okay.
But that's not who I'm talking about today. Today I'm gonna be spending a little time shedding some light on some of these characters to kind of maybe whet your appetite for what the movie will be about, and or just give you a little more to
nosh
on. Yeah. The leader of the team goes by the hero name Star-Lord. And he is...
Sounds very FLCL.
It does, doesn't it? But he was first created back in 1974, 76?
Dang, that's a long time ago.
76 was when his original origin came out. That particular origin has been retconned and is now it's a.
Was he originally first? Since apparently it was horrible.
No, it wasn't horrible. It just wasn't especially interesting. He was born during a major planetary alignment, which caused him to not look like his father. So his father thought that his wife had cheated on him and was going to kill her, but then he ended up dying of a heart attack first.
So it's basically Riddick.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, okay. That was like the old one. That was like the original one. The current one is sort of shades of Superman in a way, I guess.
Oh, okay.
The being that alien Jason of Spartax.
Wait, what was his name?
Jason. It's J apostrophe S O N of Spartax. S P A R T A X. He's a humanoid looking alien. He crashes on Earth and strikes up a relationship with a human lady, and they have
all the
a son.
Aliens want are ladies.
Mm.
They're mm-hmm. kind of hot. So.
I don't blame them.
Yeah. But for reasons that are a bit mysterious, he has to leave the planet Earth, but he leaves behind his space pistol, and his
Earth pistol would be kind of boring. Like nobody would care about it.
Yeah, so no one would
notice.
Space
pistol is better.
Mm-hmm. Does it shoot space? No. She was still pregnant at the time. So, but he has to depart. And 10 years later, a group of aliens known as the Badoon show up and attempt to take them out. His mother is killed, but Peter Quill is able to fight them off using his father's pistol, which he happened to leave behind.
A nigh invulnerable Quill.
I don't know about that.
The pen is mightier than the sword. This pen being a space pistol.
Still doesn't shoot space at this point.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. Anyway, he ends up... encountering a former herald of Galactus known as the Fallen One, and is nearly destroyed while defeating the creature, and the sentient vessel, space going vessel known as Ship. That's the name of the ship is Ship.
Say what?
It's sentient and it's connected to Peter Quill via telepathy.
Is it like Daryl? Like where the letters mean stuff?
No, it's just ship.
Ship, people. That's what we say.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yes, like as in a vessel that travels through space.
So it's connected via telepathy.
For if you wish to say it like that, okay. I guess you could. Where he's imprisoned on an intergalactic place known as the Kyln, KYLN. He is eventually freed by another of Marvel's intergalactic heroes known as Nova during the Annihilation War storyline, where he becomes a military advisor to the Kree general Rowan the Accuser, who later becomes a part of the team. So,
okay.
So that's kind of like where he comes from. So
okay. He's
like he's half alien, although he looks human.
Okay.
He has a very cool gun.
But what's his core?
His core abilities are mostly he's a strategist. He's kind of like Sherlock Holmes. Like he's able to think his way through the fight, so he doesn't have to like be the most brawniest figure on the battlefield to survive.
Okay.
Is he psychologically broken, much like Sherlock Holmes?
Not quite in the same ways.
Okay, but different ways.
Well, yeah, his parent, he watched his mother be murdered by aliens.
Psh.
and was abandoned by his father, so that does tend to leave.
He's got some issues.
Leave a scar or two, and he's.
I'll give him that.
His life afterwards in the orphanage was also troubled, so there's that.
Orphanage / prison, or how old was he when he was in the prison?
He was. I think he was an adult when he was in space, like a young adult. So
okay.
So there's that. He's been trained in various forms of combat, human and alien.
Okay.
He can use a wide variety of firearms. And
he has a space gun.
Well, you don't always have the space gun on you, or if you happen to be captured, you might need to use what's at hand.
That's true.
Gotta
Jackie Chan it every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. And so he's also well versed in the customs and societies of space and lots of aliens. And the gun that he carries is known as the Element Gun, which is a kind of a meta pistol, which can produce energy using the four elements.
Okay.
Earth, wind, fire, and water. So it's kind of like a strange...
So it's a carryover from the 70s character.
That, I think, probably is.
Heart got screwed over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. The and Ship is not...
Is Heart, right? In a
Ship is a,
amazing
is a
bit of irony.
Is not just a sentient like flying vessel. It's actually an energy life form, and so it's
a shackled elemental is what you're saying.
You could look
in
at it that way.
In a space Eberron setting,
if you were to equate it that way, if that makes more sense to you, you can go with that.
That one's for all you geeks out there that understand what I'm talking about. Oh yeah.
The ship can produce pretty much anything necessary for continuing life. Since it's pure energy, energy can be turned into matter and back and forth and stuff like that.
Okay.
They also has a wide variety of holographic projectors that can ship can have a visual presence as well as a energy being.
Okay. Sort of like, what's the name of that other Gene Roddenberry show that had Kevin Sorbo in it?
Oh.
The ship could make a projection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like that.
What a projection it was.
Yeah.
Nice. I forget
what,
the name
like
of
sexy
it.
Ninjutsu or something? Or?
No, not really, but she wasn't hard on the eyes. I'll look her up later. Or
yeah, it's
look
not,
up the show later.
That's not so important, but...
Mm-hmm. During the Annihilation War, where Peter Quill is trying to kind of reconstruct his persona as Star-Lord because a lot of his equipment got destroyed while fighting the Fallen One, the former Herald of Galactus.
That would make sense. They're pretty major, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you become a Herald of Galactus, you are touched by the power cosmic, which puts you in tune with a lot of power.
Okay.
Because he's still like a strategy genius, he's able to like help lead the Kree and other aliens in the war, and through that he essentially assembles what he then later dubs the Guardians of the Galaxy. So
okay,
you know. That's kind of like where they're going with him.
Okay.
He has the interstellar police force aspect of the Green Lanterns, but without the rings or anything like that. It's kind of self-appointed, and he has a group of specialists. You know, it's a little bit like Firefly. There's beings that are part of that are sort of a ragtag crew, but because they all have common goals and interests, they still are able to coalesce as a group.
Okay.
And their leader is kind of roguish like Mal. So, he has kind of those ability. That's kind of how he projects himself.
So how much do you suppose Joss Whedon was inspired by this character in this crew? Since he is apparently a Marvel fan.
This version of everything only existed like post Avengers, quite honestly. Like
that's gonna be my question, is when did they do redo?
They started this in late 2000s. So I think they were kind of like they were starting to gear up for it. They wanted to do something with it, and I think they with the great success of the Avengers, they actually like went forward and said, okay, we're not going to like really put the cash into this
And Thor, who is arguably another guardian of the galaxy.
Yep.
Or of a planet or two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and then in the movie, I forget, he's going to be played by...
Alan
Rickman.
No, not Alan Rickman.
Well, while you look that up...
Do you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio? Stream us whenever you want at www.ksu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound.
Yes, Chris Pratt is going to be playing Peter Quill / Star-Lord.
From Parks and Rec fame, and
mm-hmm.
I think he was also in Zero Dark Thirty and other things as well.
Yeah, he's cool. I like him.
He also made an appearance in
Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah, we'll go with that one because that's more in line with what Pauly got him the role of playing.
It might have had something to do with it.
Peter playing Star-Lord, because it definitely wasn't...
the question is, is he a fan of the character, or was he made to be one through...
That I am unsure of. It sounds like he, from what little I can tell of his involvement with, like, he's sort of been brought into an appreciation of the character. I don't think he, like, I think it's like most people...
So he's like Robert Downey Jr.?
I suspect. Like, they're like, here's a character we think you'd be good for, and then, like, as a result of gearing up for the character, he's like, I actually kind of like this guy kind of situation.
Nice. Okay.
Cool. All right, well, hopefully you, now next week we're going to continue on with the Guardians of the Galaxy. Do you know who you're going to touch on next week, or still not sure? Or?
I'm thinking I might do Roan the Accuser next.
All right. So next week, stick around for that. I'm definitely interested now to learn more about this group, because it was the movie's on my list of things I'm looking forward to this year. So it'd be cool to learn a little bit, have a little more backstory, and hopefully you can get some backstory so when you go and see it, because I'm sure a lot of people are going to go and see it this summer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a little bit more knowledge about the Guardians of the Galaxy. So
save the squirrel for last, right?
Rocket Raccoon, you mean?
The raccoon.
The raccoon. Yes. He's not a squirrel. I'm not sure where I'll put him.
You're gonna put him last.
We'll see.
You'll just have to tune in and see. All right.
Keep tuning in the weeks to come. We'll let you know.
Yeah. All right. We're going to play our last music break of the night before we get into the core. In the core tonight, we're going to talk about the recently leaked / released photos of the new Ninja Turtles for the Ninja Turtle movies, which, in fact, that movie was on Jason's list of things he's looking forward to this year. So
yes.
Should be an interesting discussion, as well as other redesigns and things of that nature, of positives and negatives and our thoughts. And we definitely want to hear your thoughts. So reach out to us and let us know what you think of these redesigns and reboots and all that jazz. All right, I'm going to play a new track from Cage the Elephant. We'll be right back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
You are now entering the core.
back to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. You're in the core. Tonight's core, we're going to be talking about some of the leaked slash released images of the brand new Ninja Turtles for the upcoming new reboot of the Ninja Turtles movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically, the images come down to they're not like the full-on CGI'd characters that you'll see in the actual movie so far, but they are the artist's maquettes that are usually peppered around the acting area so that the actors can get an idea of what they look like and so on, and be able to play off of different little oddities in character that they can see by the mm-hmm. artist rendering of these things. And me personally, I think they look pretty awesome. But a lot of people are apparently complaining that they look too samurai-ish. But it brings up an interesting thing about the characters, because, I mean, sure, they're mm-hmm. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and whatnot, but they've never really acted like ninjas. And so that it creates, like, a weird little opening there, because Shredder is, like, definitely samurai, like, top to bottom.
Yeah.
Like, even yeah. down to all of the archery stuff and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes it... I mean, do you end up even looking at Shredder as a ninja, or is he more of like an evil samurai or whatnot?
Yeah. I mean, strictly speaking, the ninja started out as samurai, and they figured that the honor of their shogun was more important than their personal honor, so they became assassins as that became more of a thing, they became sort of like snipers, where it's like there's the they became more formalized as it went on.
In a land of honor, they were the dishonorable people that got jobs done for what they viewed as the greater good,
mm-hmm.
which is arguable since they were often told what the greater good was by people who might not have been that good. But
that aside, but so it's like having them be sort of samurai-ish isn't outside of historical reference for yeah. those who want
true
historical.
And if you want to see these images, if you haven't seen them yet, if you go to our Facebook page, the link to the story shows mm-hmm. the images for the turtles as well as Shredder and...
Yeah,
right. And Shredder is the other big one, because to me, I think he looks really cool. But everybody's apparently gone nuts that they really don't like the way Shredder looks. And to me, it carries on the samurai side of things really well, because I've seen a lot of the samurai helmets where mm-hmm. the faceplate is an outright like demon mask.
Oh yeah.
And so it fits yeah. perfect with this character, because he already has a very samurai looking helmet to mm-hmm. him.
Yeah.
And then add to that he has really wicked looking blades sprouting off all over him now.
Like, that would be the phrase Shredder.
Shredder.
Makes a lot of sense at that point. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, it makes me wonder what sort of background story they're going to have for him, because a lot of people are speculating, like, oh, he must be an alien because he has such a weird face. And it's like, well, it's a helmet. We don't know what his face looks like.
Yeah.
But they brought up the point, too, that apparently one of the newest incarnations of the Shredder was actually some sort of alien cyborg. And so...
Yeah, it was another alien creature like Krang from the old TV show.
Right,
that moved around a lot of robots. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, what I'll be curious to see is how, like, in a static shot, Shredder looks really, I think looks really cool.
Yeah,
I'm curious how he'll look like in motion.
Yeah,
it'll look like really cheesy, or if they'll shoot it right. So
I have mm-hmm. a feeling it's going to turn out pretty good, just because it seems like, if nothing else, Michael Bay's productions really nail down the environmental effects to kind of maximize how cool things look.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Transformers did do that.
Right. I think they're going to do a pretty good job of that. If there's going to be a failing, I think it's going to be outright acting. So,
in a Michael Bay film?
I know.
No.
Well, keep in mind, this is a Michael Bay production.
Production.
True.
Yeah.
True. So, this isn't, strictly speaking, a Michael Bay film. This is correct. Yeah, I mean, some people love the one of the complaints I saw down in the comments was that Michelangelo looks like he has like tied t-shirts around his waist and head. It's like,
See, I think that's cool, personally.
Yeah, so I mean, I thought one commenter brought up a pretty good point that they live in a sewer. They were trained by a rat.
Right.
They're already, like, you know, two steps down the ladder of, like, having really high-end equipment. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing that I like that ends up being kind of a throwback to the comics is that there were different points in the comics where they had storylines from when they were actually a little bit younger and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
where the costumes were a little bit different, and they seem to have brought little chunks of flavor from those different costumes. Like, the Raphael character has, instead of just the normal, like, Zorro-style face mask, which, honestly, I'm not the biggest fan of in the first place,
mm-hmm.
he has, like, a full, like, head mask on, which ends up being more ninja to me. But, I mean, that said, they didn't dress any of them, like, completely in black or anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, they're still, like, playing off of the four colors that they used for the cartoon,
right.
Which makes them really easy to instantly distinguish when you're animating them or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of animals, mm-hmm. not necessarily turtles, but if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. Maybe they have some turtles.
They might. Yeah. It's possible.
Or a rat.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth a look.
That you can name Splinter.
Mm-hmm. Or something. Yeah, I don't, on one hand, like, I understand, like, people are getting all, like, bent out of shape about it, but, like, this movie is already so far from, in a lot of ways, from the original source material that whatever they do to it, it's kind of going to be its own thing anyway. So it's sort of like, you know, it bothers me considerably less than I expected, to the fact that the turtles look kind of funky.
Yeah. And we always have the original movie.
Mm-hmm.
The others as well, if you want.
Right.
Yeah.
Which
the original movie is actually, in a lot of ways, like, super, super close to the source material. So,
mm-hmm.
at least the Eastman and Laird comic, and I'm sure a lot of people grew up on the more Archie style and the
cartoon series.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now the even newer one on Cartoon Network, I think.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Stuff from the new comics and everything, so.
Yeah, yeah. I think one of my favorite, like, comment, little tire back and forth, was one person saying, like, put up a picture of Megan Fox, and then a still from the old animated TV show putting together, like, April O'Neil, this does not compute. And then, like, the next person's like, you never read the comics, and throw up a picture from the comics where it's like, yeah, that April O'Neil and Megan Fox have much more in common with, like, long dark hair and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I dig that they gave her, like, apparently, like, a yellow leather jacket that mm-hmm. works pretty well off of the old jumpsuit and whatnot, too.
Without having to look like she jumped right out of the 80s.
Right. Slash the worst part of the series, which was the cartoon series, so.
Mm. Yeah, I think this.
I'm sorry for everybody who worships that, but Eastman and Laird is my thing.
You just broke my heart, Jason.
Well, and plus, she's like Baxter Stockman's assistant turned investigative reporter in the original comic. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with Joe. Like, these designs look okay to me. The real test will be whether they. How well they look when they're on screen. You know, it's like, will they hold up to that kind of, you know, scrutiny?
When do you think we'll see the first trailer?
That should be dropping relatively soon, I would think.
Yeah, it seems like it would. But who knows? I mean, it depends also.
So drop it in April?
That would be pretty good, actually.
I wouldn't put it past someone to think of that. I do kind of like this detail that Donatello has headphones on.
I really dig that too. And I'm hoping that we end up picking out a lot more little digital devices like that on the characters.
Yeah, I suspect Donatello is going to be like kitted out. It looks like he also has like a microphone sprouting off of his off the other side of his,
yeah,
his
something.
Headgear.
I can't really tell what it is.
Yeah,
it looks like also I mean, they ended up changing the faces quite a bit for the original few movies in order to make them so that they could get good animation out of them and whatnot. And they changed them quite a bit. Again, they're a lot more round and kind of more human-like in a way. They don't have noses per se, but you can see the nostrils, so I can imagine them putting the animations of like nostril flares and stuff like that in.
Mm-hmm.
But it does allow them a lot of room for a lot of expressions too, it seems like. They've gone pretty heavy on the eyebrows, so it can get a lot of emotion even through the masks.
Mm-hmm.
And they've definitely added a more expressive mouth with lips that you can actually see.
Yeah.
Not like G.I. Joe, like Snake Eyes lips or anything. But
yeah. Have they said, like, if they're going to have different, like, people doing the voices or the same actors?
That still? I don't know. I honestly haven't really paid a ton of attention to the movie until recently, just because I didn't want to be disappointed. and like I mentioned once before in a previous show, I as soon as I heard Megan Fox was going to be April O'Neil, I kind of lost interest in a lot of ways. I mean, I know that sounds weird. She's a very attractive woman, but I don't know. There's something always rubbed me the wrong way about her, but she, don't giggle. don't. but anyway, I've become a fan recently just because some of the interviews have proved her to actually be kind of geeky in a weird sort of way. So
you think they'll get Corey Feldman to do Donatello again?
Oh, I hope so. It's not going to happen, but
at the very least, it's having to do like a cameo or something, like as like
that would be cool.
Like pizza
actually.
Delivery guy or something.
They need
like that.
A pizza delivery guy in it, and nothing better than a down and out Corey Feldman to be a pizza delivery guy.
Yeah, I don't know how down and out he is, but yeah,
I'm claiming it right here.
All
right, come at me, bro. Come on.
Let's see.
Come
according
on, Feldman.
To IMDb, Alan Richardson is Raphael.
Okay.
Noel Fisher is Michelangelo. Jeremy Howard is Donatello, and Pete Polsek
so
is Leonardo.
And Ron Howard is.
So when you click on these people's names, does it? What does their bio sort of go into, like other work? Like, does it show a bunch of voiceover work, or is that just the actor inside? Like, just click on one of them. And
what I'm seeing here is on-screen actor.
Okay.
A little bit of voiceover work for. That was character model. For a video game, but yeah, it looks like most of the credits seem to be on-screen actor. So maybe
if they are going to do voiceover, maybe they're holding off announcing who.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, quite possibly. Yeah, there's a lot of other little details that I really like picking out about the characters. I like that they look like they have a shell that kind of functions in a weird sort of way. Like, it seemed like in the previous movies, the shell was kind of an afterthought, just something to cover the backs of the actor. And this one, it looks like they're a functional turtle, which would be really difficult to make them look cool, but they managed to pull it off pretty well, it seems like. It kind of reminds me of, it creates sort of the profile as far as the overall body of, I'm prepared to take your shots, but some of the characters from Mass Effect,
mm-hmm.
like it reminds me very much of like Grunt's armor, how it kind of arcs the same way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. I wonder what the Foot Clan's gonna look like.
Yeah.
Or if they're even gonna be in it. It'll be interesting to see what the take is. Because, yeah, that's the one thing about the design for the Shredder is that you cannot tell which direction they're going to go with this character. It could be a full-on, like, alien dude that's just here to mess up the planet, or it could be somebody who's a new version of a samurai. It's really hard to tell. Mm-hmm. But he looks formidable. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like anybody you'd ever want to touch at all. I mean, how do you wrestle that guy?
You don't.
Without getting shredded.
Right. Oh. Yeah. I mean, it was difficult before with the like weird little plastic shredder things.
Yeah.
But these are like full on razor blades with serrations all over the place.
Yeah.
And none of the pictures here, but have they shown any for Splinter?
I haven't seen anything.
I haven't seen
yet.
Anything okay. for him either.
Yeah.
There's because I wonder if
maybe Shredder is Splinter.
Or maybe Splinter's not even going to be a part of the story. That would be
interesting. Like, yeah. Actually, maybe sort of have him be part of the story, make him the inciting incident. Like, he gets killed at the very beginning, and they're forced to figure out everything all on their own
mm-hmm.
without the guidance that they've learned to lean on through their entire childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So in one moment, they are forced to become men from what were once teenagers. Although it would be awkward for the next TMMT movie. So.
Man, Mutant, Ninja Turtles.
Right.
MT and
right.
MMNT.
Right.
It's MMNT. MMNT.
Nobody would know to look for that movie.
Yeah.
Is that like a new band?
So in the last 5 minutes of the show, you, Caleb, pointing mm-hmm. at you since the audience can't see me pointing at
yeah.
at you.
For the audience.
For the audience.
Joe is pointing
you,
at
you
Caleb.
Linked when we were talking about this topic, you linked to another site with some stuff.
Yeah. The site's called Project Rooftop, and it's basically a place where
people sell solar panels.
No. the group focuses on doing essentially superhero costume redesigns. That's okay. kind of like their bag.
So that's why it kind of fit like
mm-hmm.
this discussion.
Yeah, right. and the most of them are working professionals. They might not necessarily be working for Marvel or something like that, but they're all like professional artists of some capacity or another. And so it's kind of a mix of like people just sort of submitting things that they've done that they think are really cool.
Okay,
and also they sometimes do contests where they're like, all right, everyone, Cyclops. Let's make him look cool again, or find a way to represent him that looks more interesting than what he's been for the past 15 years or whatever. So, mm-hmm. yeah, usually they pick like a classic character like Storm or you know, Superman or like you know the Teen Titans. You know, they're kind of like young and hip. How do we like make them not
uncool?
Look like... How do we show them to be like modern heroes kind of thing? So it's like
okay.
you know, different spins on the idea.
Did you mention something like that they did this for something somewhat recently where people complain like, oh, we don't like this? And
I remember during the launch of the New 52, there was you know, when people were raising a fuss about that. I think they did a JLA call for, you know. What they would do. They have some pretty cool ones of Batgirl.
Jason Hart's Batgirl redesign. And we'll have that link.
Yeah, it's coming
our,
up.
On our Facebook page and Twitter profile and all that stuff. Robots Attack, two words on Facebook, and Robots Attack me on Twitter. Yeah, I also wanted to throw out since... whatever you want to refer to, RoboCop, has mm-hmm. got a redesign also that's coming
yeah.
out this year. And how they in one of the trailer sort of things, like they kind of give homage to like the old RoboCop, like
yeah.
there's a silver version, like,
yeah.
Let's go with black. Like,
yeah.
I think, you know, I like that you will still have that 80s style RoboCop that, you know, everyone knows, a classic if you're familiar with RoboCop.
Right.
And then I like the direction that they're going with the designs of the new RoboCop and the new, like, Ed 209s or what they're supposed to be, but still sort of giving that homage, but still having something different. So a little more, definitely the original RoboCop, a little more bulkier, a little more like really 80, like bulky muscle man, like, and it fit that time. This one, it's, he's definitely more sleek, slender, like.
Well, yeah, and it
he looks more lithe, more human-like, honestly.
Well, and it fits what we're kind of sculpting military and police into these days, a lighter, more sleek.
More mobile, sort of.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original RoboCop could not be accused of being mobile even when he had his jetpack.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a little more like a 40K Terminator. Clunk, 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 clunk.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, is it over there? Oh, wait a sec. Clunk, 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 clunk. Okay, I can see you now. Oh, he's trimming again.
Now I wish somebody would have made at least a fan art of the original RoboCop on roller skates. Or at least roller blades. That would be awesome.
I am
like some neon green roller blades.
I am almost positive that I've seen like someone draw a version of him on like some sort of like roller blades or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I got to do that now. That might pop up on our website in the next day or two.
Sweet.
I'm for that. All right. Well, hope you enjoyed our show and the core. And let us know what you think of all of these redesigns and sort of reboots and, you know, some giving homages, sort of changing things, but still having that spirit. If you disagree or agree. And Caleb, how can they do that?
Well, if you want to find us on Facebook, you do a search for Robots Attack. Two words. If you want to find us on Twitter, we are RobotsAttackMe, all one word. And our email address is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you just want one place to rule them all, one place to find it all, go to robotsattack.me. We have links to everything else. We have an email, and also we have archive episodes of our show there as well. So if you want to go back and get your geek on even deeper, please do.
All right. All right, we'll be back again next week from 7 to 9 here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We are Robots Attack. We're signing off. Have a good weekend, everybody. If you're going to be watching the Super Bowl, good luck to whatever team or the big game.
Yes, right.
You know, hooray, fill in the blank here, or hooray, fill in the blank over there. And look out for that commercial that we mentioned.
The Goldilocks commercial.
The Goldilocks commercial. All right. Have a good one, everybody.
Raccoon. Baronin. Misto.